Welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we are concluding the first chapter of Maseches Baba Basra. We are doing Mishnayos Hey and Vav, and this will be the last of our three shiurim in which we're just replacing some shiurim that Rabbi Novak had given because the audio quality wasn't very good. Tomorrow we will resume with regular shiurim with Rabbi Novak. So looking at Mishnah Hey, we're continuing to speak about partners who jointly own property together and what one can compel the other to do because it's the accepted standard of behavior in such a situation. So Mishnah Hey tells us, Kofenoso livnos beis shar v'delas l'chatzer. If two people or more jointly own a courtyard, then one of them who doesn't want to can be compelled to contribute towards the building of a gatehouse or a door for the courtyard. And that's because these are security measures. It's to keep people out. So the gatehouse is where the watchman would sit, and the door, of course, is to close off the fence of the courtyard and keep trespassers out. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Lo kol hachatzeros ru'uyos l'beis shar. Not every courtyard is necessarily appropriate for a gatehouse. So let's look in the Bart Nura, who will explain why that is. Lo kol chatzeros ru'uyos l'beis shar. Not every courtyard is appropriate for a gatehouse. Chatzos she'eino smucha l'rishus harabim, a courtyard that isn't near a public thoroughfare, eino ru'uyo l'beis shar. That doesn't really need a gatehouse. Ve'ein halacha k'Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. But the halacha does not follow Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Dafilo she'eino smucha l'rishus harabim, because even a courtyard that's not close to the public thoroughfare, zmanim d'dach k'rabim v'alayhu v'asu. Sometimes the streets are crowded and people deviate from the path and cut across the property. So even one that would not necessarily be a regular traffic overflow area still could use a gatehouse to keep trespassers out. So the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Getting back to the Mishnah, Kofinos olivnos le'ir choma v'dalasayim ubriach. We compel residents of a city to contribute towards the cost of building a wall for the city, and doors for the city, meaning gates, and a lock. So these are things, again, necessary for the protection of the city. And once again, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, once again, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees, and he says, Lo kol ha'arayos ru'uyos l'choma. Not every city is appropriate for a wall. And again, let's look in the Bart Nura, who will explain why Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel feels this way. He says, Ir she'eno smucha l'gvul ha'oivim, eno tzricha l'choma. He says, a city that's not close to a border of enemies doesn't need a wall. Vein halacha k'Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, but the halacha does not follow Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel again. Dafilo eno smucha l'gvul ha'oivim, because even if it's not near a border of enemies, tzricha l'choma, a city still could use a wall. Dizmanim d'mikru v'asu geisos, because sometimes troops come and go. So maybe you're not on the front lines, but still, occasionally, enemy troops will happen to pass through, so every city can use protection. The halakha does not follow Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Finally, kama yehe ba'ir v'yehe ka'anshe ha'ir. How long does somebody have to reside in a city to be considered like one of the residents of the city? And the Mishnah answers, shnei masar chodesh, 12 months. Kanaba beis dira, but if somebody buys a residence in the city, hari hu ka'anshe ha'ir miyad, then it's not 12 months. If you buy a residence there, then you are immediately considered a resident of the city, and you have to contribute towards things like the wall and the city gates. Moving on to Mishnah Vav. Ein chok in esachatzer ad shehe arba amos lezeh v'arba amos lezeh. We do not compel a person to divide a courtyard unless there's going to be 4 cubits for each person. So if you're dividing it in 2 and 3 and 4, however many people there are, you don't force anyone to divide unless everyone will end up with 4 cubits of property, because smaller than that is insignificant. V'lo es hasadeh, and we don't divide a field, achiheba tisha kabin lazeh v'tisha kabin lazeh, until there is enough property for each one of them to plant 9 kav of grain. Kav is a unit of measure, it's a measure of volume, and if they don't have enough land to plant 9 kav of grain, then we do not require them to split a field. Now, how big is property for 9 kav? That would be 3,750 square cubits per residence. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, I sheheba tisha chatzoi kabin lazeh v'tishas chatzoi kabin lazeh. So Rabbi Yehuda says that each person has to be able to plant 9 half kav of grain. And actually, the Bartonero says that the first opinion and Rabbi Yehuda don't really disagree. They are, in fact, discussing planting different types of produce. So it's actually the same amount of land. They're just discussing planting different things. So take that as you will. Veloes hagina, and we do not compel people to subdivide a jointly owned garden. Acheheba chatzikav lezeh v'chatzikav lezeh. You can't be forced to divide a garden unless each person ends up with enough land to plant half a kav each. Rabbi Akiva Omer beis rova, but Rabbi Akiva says a quarter kav each, so half as much property. Veloes ha troklin, veloes ha moron, and we do not compel people to divide a hall or a tower, different types of structures that they might jointly own. Veloes ha shovach, and not a pigeon coop. Veloes ha talis, and not a cloak. Veloes ha merchatz, and not a bathhouse. Veloes space habad, and not an olive press. Alshi hei bahen kedei lezeh u kedei lezeh. Unless there's going to be enough left over that's going to be usable for each party. So for example, if you divide a cloak and there's not enough for each person to use as a cloak, you can't force someone to split it with you, even if you jointly own it. It has to be a usable thing for its purpose. Zeh haklal, this is the general principle. Kol sheyachalek ushmo alav, anything that can be divided and still retain its name, cholken, that you can force the other joint owner to divide with you. Ve'im lav, but if it no longer retains its name, en cholken, then you cannot compel someone to split it. Emasai, when is this the case? Bizman she'en shnehem rotzim, that's only the case when both owners don't desire to split the thing. If they both want to divide it, then it doesn't matter how small it is. As small as it gets, you can divide it. So if you're going to divide a courtyard and they both want to do it, even if they have only 3 amos each, go right ahead. That's their prerogative. The Kisvei HaKodesh, but when it comes to holy texts, books of Tanakh, the Torah, Neviim, Ksuvim, Afal Pi Sheshnehem Rotzim Lo Yechaloku, even if both parties want to split them, that's not permitted, because then already it's disgraceful, it's mistreating the sacred texts, and that we're not allowed to do. All right, that's the end of Mishnah Vav. Come back tomorrow and start the second chapter with Rabbi Novak. Thank you.